Let's talk dams first. The Reading City Council agreed last night to let Reading's mayor sign a letter in support of raising Shasta Dam. That's raising with an S, not a Z. A draft environmental impact statement open for comment through this month calls for raising the dam by 18.5 feet to allow for more water storage so there's more water available outside the rainy season for farming, for power generation, and for recreation. Feelings around the region are mixed on a higher dam. The Bureau of Reclamation held a hearing for comments last week in Reading, and many of the speakers spoke against raising the dam. What are your feelings? And let's cast a wider net here because there's plenty of context. This is a time in history when many dams are being notched or even removed. Savage Rapids, Elk Creek, for example, and many others are targeted for removal, like the Big Four on the Klamath River. So let's hear your thoughts on dams. Raise, lower, keep in place. Are you generally for or against new dams or projects? Do you want to rip them all out? Or would you like to decide on a case-by-case basis? And if you do that, which factors lead the discussion for you? Tell us your thoughts on dams. Raise, lower, leave alone. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the region. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. Topic two is standardized school testing, an issue in both states, but for different reasons. In Oregon, the latest statewide testing numbers came in last week, and they show passing rates falling in at least one subject for every grade tested. The bad grades may strengthen the case for a special legislative session to further increase school funding. Governor John Kitzhaber is pushing hard for that session. In California, meanwhile, Governor Jerry Brown is likely to sign a bill the legislature passed to stop the old testing regime in preparation for a new one for the 2014-15 school year. So some students would not be tested under No Child Left Behind because the Common Core standards are coming online. You got that? Phasing out the old No Child Left Behind standardized testing, moving on to the Common Core standards testing. The transition year would mean some students don't get tested. That's got the state of California at odds with the federal government. So let's talk standardized tests in general. Do they tell us what we need to know? Do they tell us too little about student performance? Therefore, do we need more standardized testing or less? Join us on The Exchange on Vents Day, 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, or jx@jeffnet.org. Back with the comments in 1 minute. It's 836 on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. And this is our Vents Day segment, your chance to vent your spleen politely on topics in the news. Today's topics, dams and student testing. Dams as in the Shasta Dam. Should it be raised? Should it stay the same? Expand the scope to dams generally. Do you want them in? Want them out? Want them left alone? Student testing, are we doing enough of it? Do we need to do more of it? Are we doing too much of it? Your thoughts welcome. 800-838-3760, anywhere you can hear us. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address, jx@jeffnet.org. Gabriel and Arcata, you're up first. Welcome to The Exchange on Vents Day.
Hi. I do think that we should be removing dams over the long term, mostly because they are a barrier to aquatic migration routes, and those are more and more in danger as time goes by from environmental pollution and also from climate change. And the second reason I think we should remove those dams is because, and why we shouldn't be raising them is because it's sort of treating a symptom of climate change. You know, as the climate gets hotter, and it's also going to get drier, and that really needs to be the focus of how we solve this problem of decreasing flows in the rivers and in the dry season. We need to focus more on how do we prevent and reverse climate change. With that being said, I think we do need to use the money that we might have used to improve these dams instead to look at other technologies for generating hydroelectric electricity, because it is a very dependable and clean way of generating electricity. But I think there's ways that we can do that without blocking the flows of the rivers. We could have inline electrical generation systems.
In line, you mean just some sort of small diversion that just makes a pipe with a turbine?
Well, yeah, you wouldn't even necessarily have to divert it. You could have pipes inside the river or something along those lines that prevent, you know, fish from being sucked into them, but still, you know, use the flow of the water to propel the turbine. Yeah.
All right, Gabriel, back to the point, though, about how with climate change, global warming, whatever you want to call it, that we're looking at potentially drier summers. Would that not speak, though, to a need for further water storage so you have the water available outside the rainy season?
Well, that's true, but the problem there is then we get all sorts of other problems that are caused by diverting the water. I mean, what about, you know, if there's fish kills as a result of that, then I mean that's another part of the economy that we all depend on. And the root of the problem is not that we don't have enough dams. You know, I come from a medical background, and I think rather than treating the symptoms, we need to treat the real illness, which is the change in climate, which is caused by carbon emissions.
All right, Gabriel, thanks for the thoughts. Good to have you here on Vents Day. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about dams in the context of the ongoing discussion of whether Shasta Dam should be raised. The comment period ends the end of this month. The Reading City Council agreed to send a letter with the mayor's signature last night in favor of raising the dam. What do you think about dams generally, though? Is it worthwhile, first of all, to raise the Shasta Dam, if that's the one you're thinking about? But if there's a dam closer to you in mind, or just dams generally, do we have too many, have too few, need more, need fewer? Give us an idea of that on Vents Day, or let us know your thoughts on student testing, which is a similar sort of algebra here. Do we need more? Do we need fewer student tests to find out how our students are doing and to gauge the success of our schools, teachers, etc.? 800-838-3760, the main number on Vents Day, anywhere in the listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Let's go to Steve in Wairika. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Yes, hi. Yeah, these topics are very concerning to me. My heart gets pounding pretty hard. The dams, it seems to me, up here in Siskiyou County, in the Klamath River and the Coho Dam, and you know, all the there's been a lot of political, and it seems to be all politics, really. It's more about politics and what they want to do with us as far as the No Monument, Agenda 21, and trying to close down the rural areas. It seems more about politics and what they want to do as far as their agendas and instead of what it really is for the people. And the more I live, I've only lived up here 4 years, and I've gotten pretty educated in those 4 years, but the more educated I get, the more educated I need to get to fight these politicians off. It seems they've come up here and shut down the forestry and the mining, and now they're after the farmers and the ranchers for their own political agendas, which is the big picture, Agenda 21.
You keep referencing, okay, there's a second reference to Agenda 21. For those of us who don't know what that is, explain, please.
Well, in the short of it, it's the government coming up. It's one world government. It was made up in the summit in Rio de Janeiro, I think it was. I'm not real sure on the words. I'm a little nervous talking on the radio, but it's the United Nations trying to make it one world government, and again, it's also in the school system now. The politics is in the school system. You know, your other topic is the testing. Well, the school systems are being taken over by politics and conforming all these kids to trust in one world word versus rather than the Constitution. We're not teaching the Constitution. We're not teaching Christianity. We're not teaching values, morals, and ethics. These kids don't even know about them anymore.
All right.
I ask kids, what is what are your ethics? What are your values? What are your morals? And they just sort of look up in the air like, oh, God, I don't know. You know.
All right, so big concerns on both of these issues. Steve, thanks for that. Appreciate it. Let me just put in one word here, though. A teacher friend of mine in the neighborhood came over last night. She was having some issues with her computer, and one of the things she mentioned was how careful they have to be in not discussing politics in schools, not putting out opinions, not even leading a discussion that would seem to go one way or the other. So things would probably be pretty uniform across the school system, but obviously our Venn State callers will let me know if I'm wrong here. So the issues here again, standardized testing in schools and dams, and what your thoughts are on these. Let's take another call from Dennis in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Venn State.
Okay. I'll make a little comment on both things. First, the dams. I'm a native Oregonian, and I grew up on an island in the middle of the Willamette River, and most of the people that live here in Oregon nowadays they're not from Oregon, or they didn't live here when there weren't dams, or there were very few of them, and I wish that they would go to, like, Harrisburg, Oregon, and go through their little museum there and see what the Willamette Valley looked like before the dams were here. And then they would really be happy if there was dams.
Very prone to flooding, is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm here to tell you that this valley, before there was dams, was just one big mud hole. It was water everywhere. And in the spring, the mosquitoes were so bad that you couldn't even go outside. You know, when I was a kid, a standard summer evening in the valley was mosquitoes and smoke from wigwam burners. And if that didn't get you, why, the smell from the paper mill over at Weyerhaeuser did.
All right. Oregon.
So if people want to go back to that, they're more than welcome to. But, sometimes people who move here and they have all their highfalutin ideas, they should do a little history research, find out what this valley used to be like before there was dams and stuff, and listen to some of us old-timers, and they might have some different ideas.
All right, Dennis, you had an idea on school testing, too?
Yeah. Here's the thing with school. My granddaughter has a Samsung smartphone, right? Mm-hmm. And she goes to school, and sitting in her front of her for a computer is a 20-year-old Apple, and the schools have everything they have is old and wore out and basically junk, and the way that we teach nowadays is sort of old and wore out too. We've got to change everything when it comes to education. Our kids are way too smart for what we're trying to do in the schools now, and we need to think differently.
All right. Thanks for that, Dennis. Always good to hear from you. Jeff in Grants Pass, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Thank you, and thank you for all the information you gather and give us every single day. Appreciate it. I'm talking about the dams, and basically, whether you rebuild them, whether you make them bigger, whether you destroy them, first the Corps of Engineers needs to go in and take care of the pre-construction or deconstruction of dams. I live here in Grants Pass, and I watched the Savage Rapids Dam get destroyed. Now the water is practically unsafe. I see it rashes every time I go swimming in the Rogue River just below where Savage Rapids was. So all the silt and all the metals and heavy metals and all the cancer-causing elements that are buried for hundreds of years since these dams were first built, or 50, 60, 70 years ago, whatever. When you destroy them, you need to go and dredge first. You need to go and take out all the stuff first, because what you're doing is you're destroying the dam, and then all of a sudden all this old silt comes up, and you create poison, you create toxics, you create these things. So I'm not opposed to dams. My concern for dams to destruct or make bigger or whatever, but make sure you do the prep work first. Learn from the Savage Rapids situation, and let's go from there. As far as the habitats for the fish and everything else like that, that will all come naturally as things begin to heal, through the course of destruction or reconstruction or continued construction of dams. The other issue I have with dams is I've been researching this since 2013, and there's many dams across the board, across this country, that are unsafe. that are cracking, that have foundations that are leaking, the Hoover Dam included. Now, we got the Lost Creek Dam, which is an old dam. Some of these dams are a century old, Lost Creek being above Shady Cove. Now, what I have read about Lost Creek Dam is that the reservoir and a few other ones that are above us, even Diamond Lake for that matter, is considered a reservoir. It's a man-made lake. And the thing about it is they're not considering the earthquake preparation of these dams. So here you got dams that are 100 years old, 50 years old, 60 years old, 40 years old, some that are being rebuilt, but only by the surface. In other words, the Corps of Engineers are going in and they're surfacing, making it look good, making it look like it's safe, but can these dams handle a 5.5? I say no.
Well, that's a good question, because I know we talked yesterday about the possibility of a 9.0 earthquake happening in the region, so I'm making a note here that we need to get somebody on who can talk about how earthquake-ready our dams are, because I know we had a caller yesterday during our earthquake segment. Thanks for that. Good to hear from you, Jeff. Let's go to John in Medford. This is Vents Day. We are talking about dams, whether they should stay, go, or be left alone, and about student testing and whether we're doing enough or too much of it. Go ahead, John.
Hi, good morning, Jeffrey. Just a short comment on the dams. You know, until we really look at what we use our water resources for, I think it's foolish to continue to, you know, try to make a dam bigger when a third of the water coming out of it is watering somebody's golf course somewhere for private profit. You know, we foolishly squander our natural resources we have for centuries, but, you know, to make a dam bigger so we can send more water south so that we can have another golf course somewhere, it doesn't make any sense to me.
All right.
Mostly on the schools, I actually was in a parent-teacher conference. Well, they don't have parent-teacher conferences, but open house last night. I have a daughter in third grade and a son in sixth grade. It was very interesting, the comment the earlier caller had made about having a phone that was more powerful than the computer the kids have.
Right.
In my daughter's conference, third grade, the teacher explained that the children would be learning how to do a PowerPoint presentation. And when I went to my sixth grade son's class, I asked his teacher, who is older, you know, there's a generational split between the teachers, and asked her if they would be doing anything like PowerPoint presentations, and she kind of looked at me and said, why would we do that? He's in sixth grade.
Huh, interesting. So that much divergence. And, of course, the difference would you say your daughter's in what grade?
Third,
really? Okay, so her brother is then 3 years ahead of her in school, but not doing the same kind of work she's doing.
Yeah, not doing a PowerPoint, and it's, you know, part of it is the leeway given to the teachers in their own teaching styles. But actually, the bigger comment I had was right now, the Medford School District is making the changeover from the previous system to the core system.
To the Common Core standards?
Yes.
Right.
This year, all of the students in the Medford School District will have to take both sets of tests.
Oh, boy.
They will be taking and having to learn, because there is some disparity between what is tested. They will actually be expected to learn more than they would in a normal school year so that they can satisfy both testing criteria.
All right. Good to know. John, thanks for the call. Appreciate hearing from you. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about school testing, whether we're doing enough of it, whether we're doing too much of it, or just about right. Your thoughts on that, welcome. Also, we can talk about dams. We've been talking about dams, whether Shasta Dam should be raised, whether the Klamath Dam should come out. Dams in general, what do you think? 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Jacob in Eugene. Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Thanks, Jeffrey. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to point out, regarding testing, there's only one testing that I actually think is relevant, and it's very alarming, and it's the math testing. 2 + 2 will always equal 4. You have to know how to calculate the circumference of a circle. But a lot of these kids, they don't want to do fractions. They don't think being able to add or multiply or subtract fractions is important, but it is. Okay? And this, I dislike that the teachers and the state education board is using this as a clarion call to increase budgets for education. Over 50% of the Oregon state budget goes to education, and I think they won't be satisfied until it's 90%. and they'll still be doing a crummy job. You can't just throw money at this problem. Now, I wanted to point out.
But Jacob, let me stop you there. If the money does things like reduce class sizes, is that not a worthwhile goal?
Well, I think learning is not just schooling. It's also parenting, and it's also student motivation. If you see a kid wasting, let's say, 5 hours playing Grand Theft Auto 5, he's not studying, okay? And that's not a good way to approach your education. There's only one shot at learning all this stuff when you're young.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I also wanted to point out PISA testing, which is the international testing regime. Everyone points to Finland being the top example, at least in a European Western country, because they have low poverty, low economic inequality. But the number one testing nation in that regime was actually China.
Really?
And China spends less money per student for schools and for teachers than the Oregon school spends on busing or heat.
And the concepts of discipline and being a part of society, very different.
Yeah, it's
not just
throwing money at it. It's also culture, family, and the student motivation. I think there's three parts to education: the student, the parents, and the teachers. It's not just the teachers in the schools.
All right, Jacob, thank you for that. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you on Vents Day. And Jim in Grants Pass, I would have been surprised if we talked about some school issue and you didn't call on Vents Day. Welcome to the Exchange.
Good morning. Amen to what Jacob just said. But one of the things that's missing in school, they stress English, science, and math, but they don't overlap in the classes. You can't separate them. Everything in life, every business, every professional office, we hire three different people because they have disciplines and can work together. I want to make bloody sure that each English, science, and math teacher is equally qualified to overlap their disciplines and can test right along with the students. If they're a little lax in something, have them come in with a big smile on their face and ask questions. Example, make sure that science isn't just old 20th century applied science. True science is the ongoing study of the yet-to-be-understood.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing is that they should not stand alone. Mathematics, music, very important to young people, openly or not. Designing, listening, understanding music without just sometimes unconsciously understanding the mathematics that's going on in your mind is why you're listening to it.
Huh.
Get teachers that can put that enthusiasm. Make sure English teachers have word origin books handy so they are willing to openly address the fact that this 1,500-year-old mongrel language is a very interesting subject to study through word origins.
All right.
All of that kind of thing.
Great. All right. Thanks for the call, Jim. Appreciate it. Let's go on to, I'm going to skip the line a bit and go to Angela and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. I'm a special education teacher in training, and I want to give a little perspective on the what I call high-stakes testing, because that's really what it's become.
Mm-hmm.
There was a letter in the Register Guard today from a teacher in the Bethel School District. She has 39 students in her class. She has no aides. She has several of those students, I believe she said eight, are on behavior plans. She has about 13 students who are English language learners. All of these populations need to be taught specifically in a different way. Now, would you want to walk into that classroom with no support? A classroom that will probably comfortably seat 20 students, but now you've crammed in all of these extra desks and all of these students, and you've got to figure out how to teach each one of them so they will come up and be able to pass the test. Now, let's talk about the test. The test, I have no problem with testing, but what are these tests normed to? I do not believe they are normed to the classroom, to the student, or to even sometimes the school district. It's statewide. So we're taking tests that these kids are taking and making teachers accountable for these students passing these tests. What happens many times, in my opinion, is that if the students are not taking a writing test, that gets dropped. So you're narrowing the curriculum. Furthermore, you're also losing instructional time, because what are we doing? These are high-stakes tests. We are preparing kids to take the test.
Which is the concern I heard teachers express 20 years ago when I was doing stories on this on a regular basis, was the concern is that you start teaching to the test.
Exactly. Isn't that funny how, you know, things change but don't change? Anyway, I just would like, you know, I have no problem with Common Core. One of the things the Common Core does is teach students, so if they go from one state to another, they're learning the same thing. They're not going, we didn't learn this. It's just the way it's being implemented is really, really hard.
All right, Angela, thanks so much for your perspective. My apologies to Ron, John, Carrie, and V. Handel. Can't get your comments in because we're out of time. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks for taking part, and thank you for listening.